Our next case is Lester Serrano v. Secretary of Veterans Affairs, 2021-1397. Good morning, Mr. Carpenter.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Kenneth Carpenter appearing on behalf of Mr. Lester Serrano. The issue in this case is whether or not the Veterans Court erred by applying by failing to apply the more liberal issue exhaustion rule adopted by this court in its decisions in both Scott and Bozeman. Although the Veterans Court's memorandum does cite to Scott, it did not apply the rule as adopted by this court in Scott, and neither did it cite nor apply the rule adopted by this court in Bozeman. We believe that that results in an error as a matter of law by the Veterans Court having affirmed the decision of the board by having failed to consider the issue presented by Mr. Serrano before the Veterans Court by failing to consider and apply the less strict requirement for issue
exhaustion.
Exactly
how is it stricter, though? I'm having a hard time following.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
I said exactly how do you claim it is stricter, the application?
Well, because in this case, the court considered only the fact that Mr. Serrano was represented by an attorney and the fact that he had apparently told an adjudicator that the VA had discussed with him the need for toe amputation. That's the criteria under the former very strict issue exhaustion requirement. The issue exhaustion requirement adopted by this court in Scott required an analysis of all of the evidence that was of record in a liberal manner to determine whether or not, in the context of VA benefits, that the lesser requirement, the more liberal requirement, and that requirement was based in Scott upon this court's decisions in Roberson, Robinson, and Comer, that require the Veterans Court to look at all of the evidence.
But this isn't a question of what evidence they have to look at. This is a question of what legal arguments were actually raised based on that evidence, right?
In Scott, the Scott court said, based upon this court's decision in Robinson, that while Comer was a pro se case on its face, the direct appeal of the regulation imposed an obligation on the board to read the filings of the claimant in a liberal manner, regardless of whether the claimant was represented by an attorney. So clearly, that is a different standard, that is a less restrictive standard than the fact that it wasn't simply presented. And in this context, we're talking about the qualification for compensation under 1151, not compensation for service connection for a disease or injury that was incurred while on active duty. This is something.
The court below said that Mr. Serrano waived his informed consent challenge. Isn't that a question of fact, which is beyond our jurisdiction?
No, Your Honor. That's a question of law because this court, as well as the Veterans Court, have interpreted the regulations that require a consent to be informed. There is no waiver provision in the law for the waiver of that informed consent. That informed consent is a mandatory requirement for the determination of whether or not the consent to the action performed by the VA provider was in fact informed by the veteran at the time in which they received the medical services. Veterans Court did not look to all of the evidence that supported his entitlement to compensation under Section 1151, even though the specific issue of informed consent had simply not been raised by Mr. Serrano. The Veterans Court applied a strict issue exhaustion
rule. It wasn't raised by him because he did give his consent. He said, you can take off my toe, but not my leg.
But, Your Honor, the plain language of the VA's regulations require more than that statement. And that was why the issue was raised by the overall or overarching issue that was presented, which was entitlement to 1151 compensation. Included in that is whether or not the VA performed its obligation to provide an informed consent. The Veterans Court, we believe, applied the stricter rule and abandoned this court's rule in Scott. Scott explained that there are significant differences.
Mr. Carpenter,
yes,
can I go back to a question that you were asked by Judge Lurie? He asked you whether the question of whether the Court of Veterans Appeals' decision to invoke the doctrine of issue exhaustion, why is that not a question of fact? And I wasn't sure I followed your answer, but when I read Bozeman, I thought Bozeman made it quite clear that that determination, that is, whether an issue has been exhausted or not, is a question of fact that we wouldn't have jurisdiction to review.
Respectfully, Your Honor, Bozeman arose in a different context. Bozeman arose in the context of the question of whether or not a condition was related to service. So it is a service connection issue. The provisions of 1151 require negligence as a component, but they also specifically indicate that if a procedure is provided, that it must be provided with informed consent. It is part and parcel. It is inextricably intertwined with whether or not the requirements to obtain compensation based upon negligence. And it would be, as a matter of law, negligent not to have provided an informed consent.
I understand what you're saying. You're saying that the issue of whether informed consent was provided is a question of law, maybe, or you're saying that's a legal requirement.
Yes.
But I'm not sure that that converts the question of whether that was properly raised into a question of law.
Well, Your Honor, at least the way that I read the Bozeman decision, it said that the veteran's citation to evidence contained in the record for the first time to the Veterans Court was not a new legal argument raised. We contend that in this case there is only one legal argument, and that is, did the Secretary violate the requirements of 1151? And that it cannot be parsed out in between an argument that must be specifically raised as to whether or not informed consent was required, because informed consent is required by the Secretary's own regulation.
And so when something's a legal requirement, your view on when and how it should be raised might differ than whether something is a factual issue being
raised. That's correct.
The first time.
That would be absolutely correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Unless there are further questions from the panel, I'll reserve the balance of my time.
We will save it for you, Mr. Carpenter. Mr. Kipor?
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Mr. Serrano's appeal fails to raise any issue that falls within this court's jurisdiction. Instead, Mr. Serrano has raised a challenge to the Veterans Court's application of well-settled law to fact. The fact, as has already been discussed, was that the Veterans Court made two factual determinations. First, that Mr. Serrano did not raise the issue of defective informed consent before the board, and second, that issue was not raised by the record. Those two factual determinations are, of course, beyond the jurisdiction of this court.
As to the first, I mean, Scott would say that because that is a substantive basis for the broader claim, that there shouldn't be issue exhaustion in those circumstances, right?
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, what the Scott court said was that if it's not a procedural issue, there is the requirement that the Veterans Court look to the record, which is exactly what they did in this case. And as Judge Lori mentioned earlier, both the board mentioned in its determination, as well as the record, indicated that there was informed consent.
What I'm saying. You said there were two things. As to the first one, they have to look to the record. So it's really only the second one that would determine whether or not the claim was exhausted, right?
Well, the two things that the Veterans Court looked at was, one, whether it was in fact raised by Mr. Serrano affirmatively, and then secondarily, whether or not...
Right, but under Scott, right. He doesn't have to raise it if it's substantive, if it goes to the substantive basis for a claim.
That's correct, Your Honor, but the Veterans Court complied with that. They looked to the record. They looked to whether or not a substantive
claim
had been raised.
Which is what is more important, right?
Yes.
So assuming that Mr. Carpenter's right, that he didn't have to affirmatively raise it for there to be an obligation to look at the record to see if it is supported, even if he's right, the board actually looked at the record, right, and said it's not supported.
That's correct, Your Honor. They're included in the board's decision. It's in the appendix at page 166. The board made a reference to the fact that informed consent was given. Now, they did not analyze that as a legal argument because it wasn't raised. At the appendix at page 71, Mr. Serrano affirmatively stated to the board that he had given informed consent. And when the Veterans Court reviewed that, they determined that those two things in conjunction, the fact that the record indicated that informed consent had been given and that Mr. Serrano said that to the board, made it such that the board did not have to address that separate legal theory because it was neither raised nor by Mr. Serrano nor by the record. And with regard to the other case that was earlier mentioned, the Bozeman decision, there's two points I'd like to make with regard to that decision, one of which has already been raised, which is the quote in the Bozeman case, which indicates that a question of issue exhaustion is a factual one beyond the determination of this court. That is correct. However, Mr. Serrano attempts to argue that the Bozeman case somehow supports his claim when, in fact, it's this court's reversal in that case was on a separate set of issues. Specifically, in Bozeman, the question was whether or not whether or not an appellate could cite new evidence to support a claim that had already been made or an argument that had already been made. As Mr. Serrano indicates in his opening brief at page 12, this was a new and independent basis to obtain relief. The argument of defective informed consent had not been raised, and it was newly raised to the Veterans Court. That is distinguishable from the issue in the substantive issue in Bozeman, which was that it was only new evidence that was being cited to. But the legal precedent that the court highlighted in that case still stands. The question of whether or not issue exhaustion should be invoked is a discretionary one made by the Veterans Court that is beyond the jurisdiction of this court. If the court has no further questions, we would rest on the arguments in our briefs.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Carpenter has quite a bit of rebuttal time if he needs it.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
You have quite a bit of rebuttal time if you need it.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. It seems to me that the government's position is that informed consent can be determined because the VA said informed consent was given. That's not the legal test. The legal test of informed consent is whether or not it meets the requirements of the Secretary's own regulation. Just saying so doesn't make it so. That's why this is a legal question and not a factual question. And attempting to separate informed consent, which is a necessary element to defeating a claim for benefits under 1151, simply cannot be separated. They are part and parcel of the claim for entitlement to compensation. There must be negligence, and that negligence can be demonstrated by the VA's own regulations, by showing that there was no informed consent as a matter of law. And in order to meet the legal requirements for informed consent, the Secretary has identified what those requirements are by his own regulation. The distinction between Bozeman and Scott factually is an issue for this court to deal with in terms of how the question of issue exhaustion should or should not be applied in the context of an 1151 claim. Neither of those cases dealt with 1151. 1151 is a statutory creation of Congress that Congress will extend to veterans compensation benefits as though the condition were service-connected, when the condition is not actually service-connected, but is the product of negligent medical services provided by the VA. That simply cannot be separated as conveniently as either the lower court or the VA would attempt to have this court believe. Otherwise, if there's no further questions, I will surrender the balance of my time.
Thank you. The case is submitted.